Let the church say amen. Amen. For God is good. And all the time, God is good. It's just not something you say, it's something you should mean when you say it. Because he is good. Because I didn't wake you up this morning and you didn't wake me up, but God woke us both up. And God is good. This morning we're going to talk about a few things which we all have in common. A few things we all have in common. You ever heard the saying, we're all the same? We're all the same. We have the same blood running through us. We have red blood, I should say, running through us. And God made us all the same. Well, which is true. God did make us all the same, but we still don't think alike. We don't do a lot of things alike, but there are many things that we do have in common. Before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed once again today because you have allowed us to be among the land of the living. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us and keeping us. Thank you for giving us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for securing us. In everything, O Heavenly Father, we owe it all to you, and we're so grateful and so thankful. When you opened the lids of our sleepy eyes this morning, you gave us the ability to rise up, get up, and be on and about our ways. And thank God you led us to your house, Heavenly Father. We're so grateful for that. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in among us. We pray for those who may still be on their way here. We pray for those who are already here as well. We pray and thank you for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for their families that they may continue to be strong in their leadership abilities. We pray for each and every member in their family here today, especially those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We thank you for everything, Brother Thompson, for those fine, wonderful hymns this morning, and Brother Hall for the prayer this morning. We just thank you for them, O Lord. Father, we thank you for gathering us together here this Sunday morning that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to this earth to hang, bleed, and die on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. We just pray that if it be your will, you continue to strengthen them and give them the faith that they need to continue on to trust in you. And Father, we pray for parents who are raising their children this morning, we pray that they bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for our politicians who can't seem to get it right, O Lord. But nevertheless, Father, we pray for them that they may soon learn to get it just the way it should be, O Lord. We thank you and we pray and thank you for everything you do for us and everything you have done for us and the things that you shall continue to do for us, we're so grateful. Now, my Heavenly Father, go with us now as we proceed into these services. Watch over and keep us. And if the things we do are found acceptable in thy sight, we're so very pleased, Father, and we offer it all to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are many ways which people are uncommon, such as we don't all like the same things. We don't all have the same taste in foods. We certainly don't all agree on everything with one another. We are not the same kind of people socially, politically. We are even different religiously, but there are some things and ways that we are all the same. We are all alike, and that we have some things in common. As we go to the Word of God today, let us look at several of these things. All of us have sinned. Now, I'm not calling anyone or anybody here a sinner, but the word of God in Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Job had it right when he said in chapter 14 in verse number 1, "Man born of a woman is of a few days and full of troubles." He is troubled from the beginning. Can we put our troubles on Eve? For she was deceived, and we all have suffered ever since. We are sinners by nature, according to Psalms 51 in verse number 5. "Behold, I was shapen in the iniquity and in sin, and did my mother conceive me." Now, I believe what the psalmist is saying is that he was born into a sin-sick society, which he became a part of. Now, this does not mean he is incapable of any good at all. Instead, it lets us know we are not immune from temptation and sin. We are sinners by choice. Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way." Now, if you know anything about a sheep, you'll understand a sheep uses no logic. He needs a shepherd to keep watch over him. He may at any time wander away from the flock for no reason, and the shepherd has to rescue him from danger and wild animals and danger of to himself. This is what God did for us. The last part of Isaiah 53 tells us, lets us know, "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We are all sinners. And one doesn't have to live in sin, but because we were born, we are part of the human race. And notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 in verse number 20, where the Bible says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." But man does not have to live a sinful life. He can take it all to God and ask God to guide him into the ways of righteousness. Now, if you'll notice the text in Job chapter 14, verse number 1, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Verse number 2 says, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one? And bringest me unto judgment with thee. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." All of us have troubles. It's a fact we can't get away from. We have for hundreds of years tried to make this world a perfect place. You might say we want to live in a heaven on earth. We want to be free from debt. We want to be free from worry, free from the ravages of old age. Yet man is not capable of freeing himself from these ongoing troubles. Because sooner or later we are going to have to face the facts of Job chapter 14 in verse number 2. "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." While men are trying to live like heaven on earth, trying to live in a heaven on earth, only God has a heaven to grant unto us. He and only he determines how long we shall live and when we shall come to die. Verse number 1 tells us, "But it's a few days and we shall be cut down." Verse number 2, I should say, "It is only a few days and we shall be cut down." Our days are not without numbers on this earth, but they are only known and kept by the Lord himself. One thing I'll tell you, though, is this. They are not endless. We may live 100 years. To us, that's a long time, but to God, that's not long at all. When he is ready, our day will come, and only he knows the day and the hour. This is the reason one needs to live right until that day. That day is sooner than what many of us may think. To say that we all have troubles does not mean that we are all living a trouble-filled life. It simply lets us know that in our troubles, that somewhere in life we are going to run into trouble. Trouble came to the disciples. Do you remember in Mark chapter 4 where the disciples were with Jesus going over to the other side? And a great storm arose, and when the weather turned stormy, Jesus was asleep in the boat. They began to fear, and somebody said, "Let's wake up Jesus." This is what we need to do when trouble comes to us. We need to call on Jesus and ask him in the same question the disciples asked him. He said, "Lord, do you care about me? There's trouble up on me right now. Lord, do you care about me?" You all know the story of how Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, spoke to the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." He brought peace and calm to a troubling situation for the disciples. Do you trust him to bring stability to your troubled life? He will, if you but ask him. He'll bring stability to a troubled life. He can do that. God is able to do that. He will do that if you but simply ask. You know something else? Some other way that we are alike? We all must die. The Word of God lets us know that we shall not live forever. Three things, verse number 5. Look at verse number 5 of the text. "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed the bounds that he cannot pass." The days of our lives shall come to an end. That's the first thing verse number 5 teaches us in Job 14. Number 2, it teaches us that the number of man's months are determined by and accordingly kept by God. In other words, our time rests in his hand. In these days, number 3, it teaches us these days are appointed by God and we cannot pass them. But there is an upside to men, that is, death is not the end. Yes, I said death is not the end. It is the end of one's physical life, but it is the beginning of eternity. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7, Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Yes, we all must give up these physical bodies. If we have lived right, we shall get to go home with Jesus. Of course, no one wants to give up this earthly life, but the Word of God teaches us that there is a place far better than down here. A place of golden streets and mansions. It is far better than a place of burning fires and eternal suffering. Today is the day to turn our lives around. Today is the day that we should start living for God, because there is no escaping death and the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." None of us can alter this fact, but we can live a righteous life. We can look forward to a better place to spend our eternity, if you will. John chapter 5 and verse number 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We all have to spend our eternity somewhere. Why not choose life over death? When this invitation is given for all to accept, the better way than the other way. There is but one Lord, one. one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Now, when I consider what Job wrote there, look at what he wrote again in verse number 2. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. One day we're not going to be here. And dost thou open thine eyes unto such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Unclean. Not one. But I want you to notice verse 5 in particular. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. You didn't appoint your bounds. God has already appointed your bounds to you, and you cannot pass. And I know what somebody's going to say, well, what about Hezekiah? He went past his days. Well, yes, but that was a different case. God came and Hezekiah prayed unto God, and God granted him a few more years. 15, if I remember correctly. So what I'm saying is simply this. That doesn't happen all the time. God is able, but it doesn't happen all the time. So you need to live right now. There are a few things that all men have in common with one another. Most of all, they have one God that all can trust and believe in. He is available for all to worship and to come unto. Something about this one God you need to know. This one God is big enough, powerful enough, and loving enough to save us all. And yes, while we are living, now is the time to make our calling and election sure. Sure that we have a place prepared for us by our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sure that we can get into heaven, that we can live with him in glory forever and ever. You know, I don't know if you've thought about it, but eternity is a long time. Eternity lasts forever. Eternity starts here, but it goes on and on and on. You can't put an end, a period to eternity, for there is no end to eternity. I'd like to think that I could live in eternity. I'd like to think that you could live in eternity, living on and on and on, and never worrying about anything in life anymore, because your life, your physical life is over, but your eternal life is just beginning. Think about it, church. Think about number 5 again. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. You can't do anything about death. It's going to come one way or the other, sometime or another. It's going to be up on us. And before you know it, we'll all be gone from here. One day somebody is going to stand up over us, and you're going to be laid out in the front of an audience somewhere. And that audience is going to, some people are going to have a few nice things to say about you. And some preacher will stand up and do a eulogy over you. But then you got to remember, you're preaching your own funeral sermon while you yet live. While you are living, how did you live? How did James Carter live? How did brother so-and-so live? How did sister so-and-so live? Well, your life is your own eulogy. And you got to live it right in order that you may have a decent eulogy when your time comes. But God doesn't care if you're ready or not. When he calls, you are going to go home. You are going to go somewhere. You're going to leave this earth. But nevertheless, I like the way Job put it once again in verse number 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down and fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. You know how a flower comes up and it blooms, and then the blooms start to fall off, and that flower, guess what? That flower disappears. Isn't that right, church? When I think about it, I think about what Job was saying there. And life is like that flower. We're like that flower in life. We're here for just a little while. Like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. I thank God this morning that all of you are still like that flower right now. But one day we're going to continue with not all of us. We're going to be gone from here. And we need to prepare right now. We need to be prepared for what's coming. Because death is coming. And the funny part about it is that we don't know when. We don't know when it and where it's going to come at. You can be walking down the street or you can be sitting in your house, laying in your bed, and death could come. But it is coming. I like verse number 5 still. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Do you understand, church, what the Bible is saying? Death is soon and death is coming. Death is coming and nothing we can do about it. Nothing at all. So I suggest to you this morning that you get ready. You get ready because, and you're not going to be different than any other man or woman. Because we all have this thing in common. We're all going to die. We're all going to give up this earthly life and we're all going to have to face the grave. And when we face the grave, we need some help to end the grave. We need somebody who's able to go all the way to the grave with us. That's Jesus Christ. He can go into the grave with us. I can't go in with you. You can't go in with me, but all of us are going to face the grave. And it depends on your life, how you live when the judgment comes. What's going to happen with you all and us and me? God is able to take us from earth to glory through his word and through our obedience to him. Now something else about living. Let me see if I have enough time. Oh, I got plenty of time. Living is good. Living is a wonderful thing, but it's somewhat overrated. It's overrated because as Job told us, man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of troubles. Now, what do you mean is full of trouble? It means that in your life you're going to face some ups and downs. But you're going to face downs possibly more than ups. Because he said it's full of trouble. And trouble can come to any one of us at any time. And how many times in this life have you been, thought you were living good, everything was fine, and then all of a sudden at your door knocks trouble. And when trouble knocks, you can't say, I'm not going to open the door. I don't want to see you. Because it'll come in anyway. When trouble comes in, it may last for a little while. Just like those disciples were in trouble with the stormy weather. You're going to have some stormy days in your life. I'm going to have some stormy days. And I can't say that I haven't already had some. Because I have. And, you know, sometimes I say to myself, Why are you giving me so much trouble, so many troubles, Lord? And I think back to that scripture, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. And I think about that and I say, well, who am I not to have trouble? You already told me in your word that I was going to have trouble. And when I consider the fact that troubles come to every one of us, men, women, boys, girls, it comes to any of us at any time. It can come to any of us at any time. But I like The fact that if you know God, you have an advocate that you can go to in the times of trouble. In the times of trouble, he'll be your bridge over stormy weather, over stormy waters. He'll be your rock, be your shelter in the time of need. He'll be your rock in a weary land. He'll help you out. He'll get you in. He may not take away your troubles, but he'll provide for you that you can ease through them. They won't be as hard. You know you got a helper there to work with you. You remember Paul, when Paul said he had a thorn and he needed, asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn. And God told him what? My grace is sufficient. Oh yes, his grace can work with you, church. He'll make everything all right. If there's a wall that you can't get over, God may send you around it, but he'll work with you. He'll get you through it and over it, and sometimes you might have to go under it, but God can get you through. But you just gotta be with him and be able to ask him. See, if you're not a Christian or a believer, God may not hear your prayer. But I'll tell you something. If you are one of his, you got help for your times of need. All you got to do is ask. And I know some of us get kind of stubborn sometimes, and we say, well, I don't need to ask him. I'll take care of it myself. Well, if you could take care of yourself, why do you still have these troubles? That ought to tell you right there, you can't do it all by yourself. You cannot do it by yourself. You need the help of the Lord to get you through situations. And don't let me start on what can cause all these troubles to come. Sometimes it's the person that you sleep next to every night. Sometimes it's the kids in the other room in the same household with you. Sometimes it's your brother or your sister that lives away from you. And most of all, sometimes it's that job that you work on, but you'll put up with a lot of stuff from the job, but you won't put up with much stuff from me. You'll go down to the job and you'll stand for whatever they dish out, because the first thing you're going to say is, I need my job. I got to continue on this job, so I'll put up with it. But you don't like it, but you mumble to yourself, and then you go home and slap your wife. Or beat your kids. But I'll tell you something. That's not right. It's not right for you to take out what's going on in your life on your family. Yet, when these troubles come, you react. But I got a better way for you to react, something better for you to react to. Go to God in prayer. Ask him to get you out of it. Lord, help me to get out of it. And I don't care how small or how large these troubles are, God can work with you. God will work with you. God can get you through and over and under or past whatever the troubles might be. You remember when Jesus was going through some troubles in the garden? He asked the Lord to remove this cup, not my will, but your will. He said it right. He said, not my will, Lord, but your will. If you would remove this cup from me. But you see, even Jesus faced troubles. But he knew what the troubles that he was going to face before he got here. But nevertheless, God can anticipate all kinds of situations in our life. And he can anticipate the situations in your life. God can get you out of them. But you've got to be a believer in him. And you know, there are some folk who pray only when they need something. Then they go to the Lord in prayer. But you got to pray to the Lord when you don't need nothing either. just simply say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing me to this point in my life. Thank you for giving unto me all that you have given unto me. Thank you for staying with me while I was going through my ups and my downs. Thank you for keeping me, Lord, that I did not fail you and you did not fail me. Then when you consider how powerful God really is, then you can understand that how good he really is. You know, I can picture those disciples on that ship that I spoke of a minute ago. When they were in trouble, you know, they were just out there in a boat, just sailing along, rowing along, however they got the power to get along. And all of a sudden, this great storm came up. The Bible says it was a great storm, so I know it was big. This great storm came up. And when this great storm came up, they all probably panicked. And they said, what are we going to do? What is there for us to do? Does God care about us? Yes, he cares about us. He cared about him. Somebody said, well, let's wake him up. Let's get him up. Jesus couldn't even get no rest from the weariness that he was suffering. But nevertheless, he got up. And let me show you how powerful it is when he stood there and he spoke to the waters. He said, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves ceased to trouble anymore. Now that's a powerful God. Now when the waves and the wind get rough in your life, you need to understand that there's a man that you can go to, somebody with more power than you and I have, somebody who can lift the waves of trouble over our heads and get us through the storm by saying, peace be still. Peace be still. Do you understand what that means? That means leave us alone. Stop whatever it is you're doing. If you're blowing hard, stop blowing hard. If you're blowing cold, stop blowing cold. Just stop it. Be still. Then consider the fact that Jesus, all he has to do is speak. You can work out, you can do all you can do, but Jesus just simply speaks. And things will go in the other direction. Now, somebody said, well, how can I have Jesus on my side? Well, Jesus is waiting and ready and willing and able to help us all. There's enough room for all of us to come to Jesus. And you come to him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you've already made those steps, you need to ask yourself, where have I gone wrong at? Lord, forgive me for my wrongness and help me to come forward and then come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you that you may grow stronger. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.